from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, Miss Lady, and Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. The Indonesian government is to hold training on mental revolution for state administrations. Indonesian Youth Farmers holds ASEAN Farmers Youth Camp the first. Chinese investors are eyeing sea tourism in Togian Islands. Now the news in detail. Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Panjaitan stated the government will prepare a special mental revolution training program for state administrators and civil servants to meet the needs of the current era of globalization, especially the Industrial Revolution 4.0. In a written statement received on Saturday following a coordination meeting at his office on the plan, he stated that now is the time for Indonesia to change the mindset to meet the challenges of Industrial Revolution 4.0 and how people can work as a team. Initially, the government will invite 1,000 participants as it has 34 ministries and may just divide the number among them. The president wants all excellence and ministries to be represented. Hence, he revealed that the training program will not only be for excellent 1, 2, 3, and 4 levels, but also private parties and non-governmental organizations. The minister stated that it is expected that all parties will participate in the program to reach a common consensus on the right mindset or action to be taken to ensure the nation's progress. Panjaitan remarked that the idea emerged following President Joko Widodo's call for an agreement on the right mindset and steps to be undertaken to meet the challenges of the current era of digital technology. Youth Farmers Association of Indonesia will hold ASEAN Farmers Youth Camp 1, which will be held in Denpasar, Bali. General Chairman of the Indonesian Farmers, Fari Jemi Francis, in Kupang East, Nusa Tenggara, on Saturday said there are several series of activities that will be held, among others, international seminar, training of organic farming, as well as a visit to Jatiluwih Rice Terrace, which take place from March the 4th until 9th. Fari explained that the event is not only followed by Indonesian youth farmers but also youth representatives from ASEAN countries. He affirmed the objectives of the activities is to create cooperation among youth for food sovereignty in the world, especially ASEAN. Fari Francis added that through the activity, it is hoped to come up with ideas from youth of ASEAN in creating the availability and sustainability of food. Chinese investors are eyeing the potential of the Togian Islands, Tojo Una-Una District, Central Sulawesi, as one of the investment destinations in the marine tourism sector. Assistant 3 Regional Secretariat of Tojo Una-Una, Manuar Mapu, from Palu Saturday said, not long ago, China has met with the region of Tojo Una-Una in Jakarta to discuss their interest to invest in Togian Islands. In the meeting, they discussed a number of excellence and development plan of tourism sector in Tojo Una-Una Regency, especially marine tourism in Togian Islands. The investors is interested because the Togian region has great potential in terms of the beauty of the island, the sea and its small islands and other natural beauty. Vice Chairman 3 of the Indonesian Engineers Association East Java Region, Professor Daniel Roshid, stated climate change and global warming are challenges for the engineers profession in the 21st century, especially in terms of energy. Daniel, in the inaugural guest lecture of the Professional Engineer Education Study Program University of Muhammadiyah Malang at the local campus on Saturday, said that besides global warming and climate change, the other biggest challenge for the profession of engineers is in the information flood era, as it is today, is full surface of integrity. Engineers should be wise in managing energy for their needs of job. In this presentation, entitled Energy Considerations, Safe, Clean, and Renewable, Daniel posed the challenge of the engineer profession in Indonesia is increasingly complex when entering the 21st century. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung hoped the alumni of Institute of Technology Bandung, or ITB, make a real contribution for the creation of Indonesia's development in a better direction. Pramono Anung said the alumni, who are more than 100,000 people, must participate in providing development in Indonesia, he stated while attending the 69th anniversary of the Institute. On Saturday, that Indonesia is currently conducting reformation in the field of ease of licensing for investors in order to increase economic growth better than in previous years. Currently, President Joko Widodo is issuing a one-door licensing policy and better labor arrangements. Therefore, he requested that ITB alumni and college institutions contributed to it. Indonesian students won a gold medal at the Northeast Asian Mathematics Competition in China. In addition, they also won a silver medal and 3 bronze medals in a competition held in Beijing from March the 1st until the 3rd. As quoted by Antara from the Indonesian Embassy in Beijing on Sunday, the Indonesian delegation consists of 12 students of Bunda Mulia International High School, Jakarta. The students, with an average age of 14 to 17, are divided into 4 teams. The competition is a qualifying competition for the Mathematics Championship, the world that held every year. The Northeast Asian Mathematics Competition 2018 in Beijing was followed by 162 students from Hong Kong, China, Vietnam, and Indonesia. Last item. Founder of Mobil Anak Bangsa or MAB company, Muldoko, stated that the electric bus prototype 2 will be tested at Soekarno-Hatta Airport. Muldoko has yet announced the trial date. He said at the signing ceremony at Jakarta Convention Center on Saturday, March the 3rd, that the AP2 president director requested the bus to be used at the airport, then they will try the test. MAB Manufacturing Head Taufik explained the trial will last only 1 week using a single bus. State Airport Operator Angkasa Pura II President Director Muhammad Awaluddin said the bus will be used as airport's shuttle to transport passengers at Terminal 1, 2, and 3. The airport management said is currently waiting for MAB company to fulfill administration of bus operation license. To end the news, here are the main points once again. The Indonesian government is to hold training on mental revolution for state administrators. Indonesian youth farmers held ASEAN's Farmers Youth Camp 1. Chinese investors are eyeing sea tourism in the Togian Islands. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment,
and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with regular segment My Indonesia. Today, it's on Jakabaring to become a pollution-free zone. Jakabaring Palembang will be a pollution-free area because vehicles operating there during the Asian Games in August 2018 are low-emission cars, so athletes and participants of the upcoming Grand Sport event will feel more comfortable with the clean and fresh air. Secretary of South Sumatra Region Nasrun Umar in Palembang on Wednesday said the international sport area will become a green zone because all operational vehicles will be of low emissions. In fact, the operational cars in the area that will transport athletes to compete at the upcoming international sporting event will be electric and gas-fueled vehicles. He said athletes who will enter the integrated sports area will be picked up using cars that have been provided with low-emission fuel. This area will also be equipped with pollution-free lighting from solar power sources. In addition, the area will be used as a green area because the parks surrounding it will be arranged neatly. The arrangement of parks there has been budgeted through a landscape program at a cost of tens of billions rupiahs. With Jakabaring Palembang sports area becoming a pollution-free area, then it is more advanced and growing. Nasrun Umar said the greening in the sports area had been programmed to attend guests from various countries. The program is assisted by the central government so that the international sport area is more interesting to visit. Meanwhile, head of South Sumatra Settlement Building and Environment Office, Aminuddin, said Jakabaring Palembang sports area will be greened for that reforestation has been conducted surface including detailed engineering design and is currently in the auction process. The sports area, among others, will have trees or plants as direction to the place of the match, he said, so the paths in the grass fields are adapted to arena condition. Trees and plants are used because they in accordance with the Green Road Smart City theme. Well, that was My Indonesia Today. Over Voice of Indonesia, I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the state in the past as recorded in history. Let's start from 1977. The 1977 Francia earthquake in Eastern and Southern Europe. The 1977 Francia earthquake in Romania occurred on March 4, 1977, and was felt throughout the Balkans. It had a magnitude of 7.2, making it the second most powerful earthquake recorded in Romania in the 20th century after November 10, 1940 seismic event. The epicenter was situated in the Francia Mountains, the most seismically active part of Romania, at a depth of 94 kilometers. The earthquake killed about 1,500 people, mostly in Bucharest, Romania, and wounded more than 11,000. About 32,900 buildings were damaged or destroyed. Communist ruler then, Nicolae Ceaușescu, suspended his official visit to Nigeria and declared state of emergency. Next is from 1980. Nationalist leader Robert Mugabe wins a sweeping election victory to become Zimbabwe's first black prime minister. Robert Gabriel Mugabe, who was born on February 21, 1924, is a Zimbabwean revolutionary and politician. He served as Prime Minister of Zimbabwe from 1980 to 1987 and then as President from 1987 to 2017. Having dominated Zimbabwe's politics for nearly four decades, Mugabe has been a controversial and divisive figure. He He has been praised as a revolutionary hero of the African liberation struggle who helped to free Zimbabwe from British colonialism, imperialism, and white minority rule. Conversely, he has been accused of being a dictator responsible for economic mismanagement, widespread corruption, anti-white racism, human rights abuses, and crime against humanity. Last item is from 2009. The International Criminal Court, ICC, issues an arrest warrant for Sudanese President Omar Hassan al-Bashir for war crimes and crimes against humanity in Darfur. Al-Bashir is the first sitting head of state to be indicted by the ICC since its establishment in 2002. Omar Hassan Ahmad al-Bashir came to power in 1989 when, as a brigadier in the Sudanese army, he led a group of officers in a military coup that ousted the democratically elected government of Prime Minister Sadiq al-Mahdi after it began negotiation with rebels in the south. Since then, he has been elected 3 times as president in elections that have been under scrutiny for corruption. In October 2005, al-Bashir's government negotiated an end to the Second Sudanese Civil War, leading to a referendum in the south, resulting in the separation of the south into the separate country of South Sudan. In the Darfur region, he oversaw the war in Darfur that has resulted in death tolls that are about 10,000 according to the Sudanese government, but most sources suggest between 200,000 and 400,000. In July 2008, the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, ICC, Luis Moreno Ocampo, accused al-Bashir of genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes in Darfur. The court issued an arrest warrant for al-Bashir in March 4, 2009, on counts of war crimes and crimes against humanity, but ruled that there was insufficient evidence to prosecute him for genocide. However, on July 12, 2010, the court issued a second warrant containing 3 separate counts. The new warrant, as with the first, were delivered to the Sudanese government, which did not recognize it nor the ICC. The court's decision is opposed by the African Union, League of Arab States, Non-Aligned Movement, and the governments of Russia and China. That was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Highlight of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's spotlight. Today is on World Bank asks Indonesia to invest in human resources. The World Bank, in cooperation with the Ministry of Finance, held international seminar on human resources as a driver of economic growth at Anfaya Beach Resort, Kuta, Bali, on Thursday. The event was held ahead of the International Monetary Fund World Bank annual session, which will take place in October this year. Chief Economist, Human Development Practice at the World Bank Group, Roberta Getty, in the event invited Indonesia and other countries in the world to invest to develop human resources. Human resource development is a key World Bank project based on a way of understanding human resource investments to achieve a good outcome. Roberta Getty said the development of human resources can also improve the financial side. A number of World Bank research shows the return on investment of human resources in the future is much greater than the initial investment issued by a country. Around 1970s, the World Bank included a group of children in North Carolina, USA. Its child and the child's family were assisted by being involved in programs that combined with social work. The children who followed the program 40 years later are not only have high income but also have never been jailed nor got pregnant at young age. They even provide 20% annual economic benefits for the region. Other World Bank projects related to human resource development are held in 3,000 villages in 50 regions of Indonesia. They are in the form of investment in basic education, early childhood education, and teachers' training.
More than 634,000 children in Indonesia have access to early childhood education. Roberta Gatti said that after an evaluation, it was found that the children who followed this program are more mature, have wider vocabulary knowledge, and better cognitive development than children who did not follow the program. In the 1970s, more than 61,000 primary schools were built in Indonesia. 40 years later, the income of the children who went to school at that time was 9 times greater than the government's expenses to build schools and hire their teachers. Almost half of the increase in state revenues in the United States, Malawi, and Turkey is caused by the quality of human resources, not because of the natural resources of the country. As many as 2/3 of the population of high-income countries must be highly skilled. This is what countries need to invest in human resources. Meanwhile, in a seminar, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati said human resources is an important factor that encourages economic growth, alleviates poverty, and reduces social inequality. Qualified human resources are viewed from various aspects such as education, health, and gender equality. Sri Mulyani said the government needs to put investment in the field of human resources as one of the priority programs, one of them through a comprehensive social protection scheme. Sri Mulyani added that investment in human resources is a global issue involving various parties in a partnership. The parties are multilateral development banks, international financial institutions, state governments, philanthropists, non-governmental and private organization. Well, that was this week's Spotlight over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You are still with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now to bring you news in brief. Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Panjaitan stated the government will prepare a special mental revolution training program for state administrators and civil servants to meet the needs of the current era of globalization, especially the Industrial Revolution 4.0. Youth Farmers Association of Indonesia held ASEAN Farmers Youth Camp 1 in Denpasar, Bali. Chinese investors are eyeing the potential of Togian Islands Tojo Una Una district in central Sulawesi as one of the investment destinations in the marine tourism sector. Vice Chairman 3 of the Indonesian Engineers Association is Java Region Professor Daniel Roshid stated climate change and global warming are a challenge for the engineers profession in the 21st century, especially in terms of energy. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung hope the alumni of Institute of Technology Bandung ITB make a real contribution for the creation of Indonesia's development in a better direction. Indonesian students won a gold medal, a silver medal, and 3 bronzes at the Northeast Asian Mathematics Competition in Beijing, China. Founder of Mobil Anak Bangsa MAB company Muldoko stated that the electric bus prototypes will be tested at Soekarno-Hatta Airport as a shuttle bus. That was the end of news in brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 95.5 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a special segment of Voice of Indonesia featuring Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, art and culture and tradition, even culinary. Today, I will invite you to observe Ngasa custom ceremony in Jalawastu Cisere Village, Brebes, Central Jawa. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia through www.voinews.id. Brebes Brebes Regency is one of the districts located in Central Java and directly adjacent to Cirebon Regency in West Java Province. Brebes is well known as the city of onions and salted egg. Geographically, Cisere is the southernmost village and one of three villages in Ketanggungan sub-district. Although Brebes is located in Central Java, the language used by the people of Cisere village is Sundanese, a language commonly used by people in Western Java but with the Brebes dialect. Ngasa ceremony has been held by residents of Jalawastu for generations, since hundreds of years ago, as a symbol of gratitude to God Almighty for all the blessings that have been granted. In coastal area, people often hold similar ceremony by presenting offerings called sedekah laut or sea offering. People in Jalawastu called it sedekah gunung or mountain offering since they live in mountainous area. The ceremony here is held once a year on Tuesday Kliwon according to the Japanese calendar. On that day, around 5 p.m., dozens of women carrying basket and food containers arrive at the site of the Ngasa traditional ceremony. The men prepare some mats, and the women put the food there and arrange it in parallel line. The traditional chief and several village elders dress in white and followed behind the women. According to the chief, Jalawastu people abstain from eating rice, meat, and fish. The staple food is finely ground corn or maize and tubers, and as a side dish they have fresh vegetables, bananas, eggplant, chili, and especially rende leaf, which is believed only grow in Mount Kumbang area there. Jalawastu people are quite unique. They do not use plates, spoons, and food container made of glass, only those made of zinc, plastic, or leaves. Their homes are still using wooden walls and zinc roofs because they abstain from using cement. There is no ceramic tile either. In addition, they also may not plant soybeans and keep buffalo, sheep, and goose. If the prohibition is violated, then they believe there will be a disaster that befall. Interestingly, although they live in Brebes, which is known as the city of shallots, Jalawastu people do not plant it, since it is also forbidden. Ngasa ceremony, there are also several art performances, such as centong or wooden spoon war, which is a symbolic war between the good and the bad, or evil. Nelandur dance depicting the activities of Jalawastu people as farmers. Dendong dance depicting women who are pounding rice in the mortar. And Ratan dance, or which is known in Sundanese as Hoe Gelo dance. Hoe means ratan and gelo means crazy. This dance shows the joy of youth after harvest and hone their strength after eating the produce. The dance is performed by 5 young men at the end of Ngasa ceremony. Ngasa ceremony is a form of praise to God for all the abundance of favors given to the people of Jalawastu and to beg for protection from all distress. Well, that ends this edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Ngasa ceremony from Brebes Central Java. Tomorrow we will meet again on the next issue of Indonesian Wonder with other interesting topics. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Every Word Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome to Miscellany with me, Alika. Today's edition will inform you about Indonesian COVID Council form. So stay tuned in to Every Word Service Voice of Indonesia at 9525 kHz or www.voinews.id. Listener, kawi is one of the leading commodities of plantation products in Indonesia. Besides consumed by the domestic community, most of Indonesia's kawi is marketed to various countries. Indonesia's geographical condition with different soil fertility in each region produced different and unique kawi tastes. Luwak kawi, Gayo kawi, and Toraja kawi are a few among Indonesian kawi that is well known in foreign countries. In order to further popularize kawi and promote the kawi industry, the Indonesian Kawi Council or the KOPI is established. The formation of the KOPI was initiated by the Minister of Agriculture period 2004-2009, Anton Apriantono. The management of the Central Executive Council or DPP of the KOPI will be announced on March 11, 2018 to coincide with the Nusantara Kawi Exhibition and Expo at Intermark Convention Hall, Serpong, Banten. According to Anton Apriantono, the national kawi problem needs to get attention from various parties because kawi is a superior commodity. He hoped the kawi can support the Indonesian kawi, which is restoring and enhancing the glory of the archipelago kawi. According to Anton, currently Indonesia's kawi production is still below Brazil and Vietnam. Therefore, the kawi will provide input to the government or stakeholders to promote the national kawi. As a first step, there is a kawi exhibition with the theme Kawi Nusantara or Kawi of the Archipelago on 9 to 11 March 2018 in Serpong, Banten province. The exhibition aims to let people know more about Indonesian kawi that is well known in a number of countries. Besides, this exhibition is also expected to increase public appreciation of the Indonesian kawi products. Later, it will be proposed that March 11 to be the National Kawi Day, as well as a marker of the rise of Indonesian kawi. Meanwhile, Jamil Musanif, Secretary General of the KOPI, said that the level of kawi consumption in Indonesia is still low compared to other countries. Indonesian kawi consumption is around 4 kilograms per year, while in Japan and European countries, the consumption reaches 5 kilograms per year. There are even countries that consume 11 kilograms per year. Jamil hoped with the formation of the KOPI, the consumption of kawi increases and the welfare of the kawi industry from upstream to downstream. That was Miscellany for today featuring topic Indonesia Kawi Council formed. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by M. Mutirhe in Luxembourg. In his email, Mr. Mutirhe asked whether there is a way to listen to our broadcast by a mobile application because he couldn't find it. Hello, Mr. Mutirhe. Thank you for your email on our broadcast. Firstly, we wish you a happy new year too. As information, you can listen to our broadcast through our website www.voinews.id or through mobile application in Android or smartphone. You just download RRI Play from Play Store, so you can enjoy our broadcast anywhere and anytime as you like. We hope our information can be useful. Thank you. Special for you, Mr. Motilhe, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Tampak jauh tuk dipegang, ingin merasakan dan menyentuh lembut bulunya. Burung terbang tinggi melayang melintasi awan. Aku hanya takjub, berharap terbang bersamanya. Apalagi yang bisa membuai hatiku berbunga merasakan rasa bahagia. Terilhamilah hidup ini. Cinta itu adalah hal terindah yang ku punya. Cinta itu adalah segalanya. Cinta itu adalah hal terindah yang ku punya. Memilikimu adalah segalanya. Apakah salah jika aku tentang perasaan ku padamu seperti ini? Meski aku tahu sulit untuk memilikimu, tapi apa daya, cinta ini meracuniku. Oh, oh. Memilikimu bagimu adalah segalanya.
Listener, now we will replay an email from Kazuhiro Takao in Japan. He sent his email through voi@voinews.id and listened to our broadcast in Japanese program through frequency of 9525 kHz on October 9, 2016 at 12:02 to 13:02 hours UTC with the simple 24222 until 23222. Hello, Mr. Kazuhiro Takao. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are really sorry for poor signal and interference on our broadcast. We hope that you can still enjoy our broadcast despite severe noise and fading. Mr. Kazuhiro Takao, we are really sorry because our transmitter is being maintained. We can only monitor our radio through our website www.voinews.id, www.voinews.id. As your request, we will send our key SL card to your home immediately. Please keep monitoring and sending your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you, and special for you and our other regular listeners, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Dengan sekuntum mawar sebagai ungkapan akan permintaan maafmu. Aku terkesima dengan sikapmu itu, namun tak membuat aku menerimamu lagi. Aku tak bisa hidup bersama. Masa-masa indah ketika kita pernah saling mencinta. Sepekan sudah aku berpikir keras untuk mencoba relakan apa yang telah terjadi. Di depan mataku kau mempermainkan api yang membakar janji ikrar setiamu itu. Aku tak bisa hidup bersamamu. Coba mengingatkan masa-masa indah ketika kita pernah saling mencinta dan masih tak bisa.
pu essayer au moins. Essayer. Mais là, tu me quittes à la terrasse d'un café. Je ne sais pas pourquoi.
Mencintaimu dengan sepenuh hati. Kau coba mengingatkan masa-masa indah ketika kita pernah saling mencinta. Dan masih tak bisa melihatmu kembali dan datang padaku. Ku coba melupakan, memaafkan dirimu. Tapi sakitnya hatiku melebihi cintamu. Dan aku tak bisa mencintaimu dengan sepenuh hati. Kau coba mengingatkan masa-masa indah ketika kita pernah saling mencinta. Dan masih tak bisa melihatmu kembali dan datang padaku. Ku coba melupakan, memaafkan dirimu. Tapi sakitnya hatiku melebihi cintamu.
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to replay an email from Mr. Ashik Iqbal in Bangladesh. Hello Mr. Ashik Iqbal, thank you for your attention on our broadcast. We are proud of your effort to be able to monitor our broadcast. Yes, that's right. Now our website has changed into www.voinews.id. We present a new website to satisfy our listeners. Through our website, www.voinews.id, listeners can find all information starting from news of current affairs, commentary, until emails from the listeners throughout the world, including our new programs such as My Indonesia, Mosaic of Indonesia, and Diplomatic Corner. Well, Mr. Ashik Iqbal, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report for you. Listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
Tetap pola matamu terasa merusuk tepat di jantung hatiku. Tarik nafas terdalam seiring balas tatapmu. Memacu nadi kacaukan adrenalinku. Tak ada yang salah, tak ada yang tak benar. Di mataku semua tergantung.
Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we want to replay a letter from the United States of America. The letter was sent by Luis Camarillo. He is one of our regular listeners who regularly sends a letter every month. Hello, Mr. Luis Camarillo. Thank you for sending your letter on our broadcast. So, Mr. Luis Camarillo, keep listening to our broadcast and please do not forget to send your reception report. Thank you. Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voinews.id, voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Deru ombak, ku nantikan tenangnya. Di deras hujan badai, ku menunggu redanya. Begitu rasanya mengharapmu bicara. Selama ini kau tak pernah menganggapku ada. Apakah aku hilaf? Mungkin saja ku pernah menyakiti dirimu. Tapi jangan kau simpan, bukan untuk dipendam. Selalunya engkau tak pernah menganggap ku ada. Pernah bisa memaafkan diriku. Oh, mungkin kau telah terluka karena semua salahku. Tapi perlakuanmu menyiksa jiwa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Kau begitu sempurna, di mataku kau begitu indah. Kau membuat diriku akan selalu memujamu. Di setiap langkahku, ku kan selalu memikirkan dirimu. Tak bisa ku bayangkan hidupku tanpa cintamu. Janganlah kau tinggalkan diriku, takkan mampu menghadapi semua. Hanya bersamamu ku akan bisa. Kau adalah darahku.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.